Ghostly Thistle presents The Antique Shop. Episode 50. Fated. Anora and I have a plan. There's a ray of hope on the horizon, a parting in the clouds that lets the sun shine down. During my scheming and sneaking around with the enemy, I never forgot that our wee rebel group was missing someone. Madame Norna. Over the years, the woman has always been a question mark. Someone that's right there ready to talk, listen and offer advice, yet seems aloof, occupying a place no one can reach. I still feel as though I didn't really know her. How did she feel about being the madam? Did she get sick of it sometimes? Did her heart ache as mine did? Did she suffer episodes of bitterness or envy? When I wasn't there, did she gaze out of the window and marvel at how much the world had changed when she remained stationary? How had she felt when I turned up, her unequipped replacement? Perhaps it wasn't that she was aloof. Maybe it was that I'd never bothered to ask. Perhaps I'd put my boss on a pedestal, put her so high above me that she lost her humanity. How could a being so far away, so all-knowing and seeing, feel the petty emotions I did? But she wasn't a god, or a creature, or anything else I'd ever encountered. She was human, and I knew I owed it to her to explain what I'd been doing. One day, I left my familiars and Kronos down in the shop and ascended the stairs unaccompanied by a customer and their problems. For the first time, there was no creaking floorboards echoing behind me. I still went and made tea, still sat on the floor at my boss's feet, still put the cups and pot on the table in front of me. I told her I needed to talk to her, and although I was hoping the words would tumble unceremoniously out like they usually did, I struggled to start. What if she thought I'd betrayed her? What if she was on fate's side? What if by telling her this I'd ruin everything? I'd just admitted I didn't really know this person, my boss, the enigmatic Madame Norna. And yet I was telling her a plan she could easily derail. I realised then that even though there were question marks, and that I didn't know the ins and outs of her own life, that I trusted her. Trusted she wouldn't intentionally hurt anyone, including me. My conversations with Madame Anora, my revelation about Kronos and his connection to death, and about how they'd agreed to help set us all free, fell between us. After I'd finished, I stared into her face, and the familiar frustration about no being able to read it simmered at the back of my mind. Did that eyebrow twitch mean she thought this was a stupid plan? Did that blank gaze mean she was going to scold me for getting my head together with Madame Anora? The silence sank my heart and threatened to snipe wit hope that had buoyed me along this far. Could I go through with this if Madame Norna wasn't on board? This woman who seemed to know everything about everyone and events to come. The walk-in inventory of items in the shop, their history and their purpose. If someone like that thought this plan was stupid, then she was probably right. I'd have paid a good amount of money to have her say anything. The silence felt like it stretched on for that long. She finally admitted, in gentle, lulling tones, that she was uncertain whether it was a good idea. Fate was no one to be provoked. What happened if we failed? How harsh would the punishment be? She confessed in a rare moment of transparency that she'd had her misgivings when I'd shown up, as it had signalled that her time was almost done. But over the years I'd been her apprentice, she'd come to terms with it. What if interfering now, fighting against fate's grand plan, made things worse? I really would have been an idiot if I hadn't seen she had a point. I'd seen what fate could do, what it could hurt. It was an almost omnipotent being, and we were trying to stop it. She was right. There could be worse consequences waiting for us if we failed. That didn't mean we couldn't at least try. What about all of those women who'd been madams before us, who'd given up their lives and loves because fate said so, because fate was too lazy to do its own job? The madams were created to be servants, to be at the mercy of fate's controlling plan for the world. But if we beat it, we could all have our freedom. We could live our lives the way we chose. No one that was chosen for us by an uncaring immortal being. Wasn't the possibility of freedom better than living a life resigned to misery? I can honestly say I didn't know what I would have done if the madam had refused. Would I still have gone through with it? Or would I have called it all off and lived like she had, resigned to my fate? Thankfully, I never have to find out, because she agreed to be a part, to help take down our master. The bigger plan was put into action. Although no doubt Madame Honora was already gleefully doing her part. I descended into the shop to tell my familiars what we needed to do next. Something for once I knew I'd be great at because I'd done it so well before. Messing with fate. For the next week, customers came and were sent away, white business cards confiscated. Purchases were refused or swapped with another item that was similar. Items were moved into storage, but no stock came out to replace them. Although it started getting concerning when no matter how much stuff we put into storage, the shop was still as full as ever. I didn't think we'll ever know where all that shite comes from. It had taken me months on my own. But we all five of us in the shop, and Madame Honora in her own, it took a mere week to gain fate's attention. I think they'd timed it intentionally, as it was during one of the rare times I was in the shop completely on my own that they turned up. Perched on a vanity table facing the glass counter where I was sorting the jewellery. A bit like we Madame Honora, I sensed the presence before I saw it. The same sharp-eyed, imposing owl, standing still, staring blankly in my direction. I know animals didn't have facial expressions, but if this owl had lips, they'd be pursed in disgust. I'll admit, I felt a jolt of fear as we made eye contact. And I felt very vulnerable in that moment, alone in the shop with something as powerful as fate. I had to try hard to remember that I wasn't alone. My familiars, Kronos and the madam, were all upstairs, a shout away, which I never got out as fate began to speak. They reminded me that they'd warned me about interfering with fate. and were disappointed that I'd no learned my lesson. I corrected them that I'd learned it very well, in a voice so loud it travelled through the private door, up the stairs and to the ears of my family. I began a half-baked apology whilst I reached beneath the counter for the jewellery box that I'd found last year, the one that connected this shop to Madame Honora's, and opened the lid. This was our agreed signal that she and Madame Norna were to summon death to the shop. Now, all I had to do was give them some time. As much as I wanted to gloat to the owl's face, tell it to put its affairs in order, I knew that wasn't an option. I lightened my tone and said that all I'd wanted this time was to ask a question, and the only way to get its attention was to start playing funny buggers. The owl looked suitably unimpressed, but I asked my question anyway. Why the madams? Why give a person so much power, so much influence? What did fate get for such an arrangement? Silence. I started to coax. If I was going to be punished anyway, I might as well get an answer. It was a harmless question, wasn't it? What could I, a mere apprentice, do with the answer? Fate replied that I already knew the answer to my question, because I'd done the same thing. I felt my eyebrows draw into a frown. What did that mean? I didn't remember picking some poor victim to be my servant for eternity. The ring on my wee finger disagreed strongly. Was that what the madams were to fate? Familiars? No, it wasn't as simple as that. No as transactional. They were companions. Death had Kronos, but who did fate have? Was that part of the reason why they'd stolen him in the first place? Envy. You wanted a friend? I stuttered. The owl replied no. It had never wanted something so fragile, so easily destroyed by outside influence. It had wanted a bond, a connection, a kinship with another being that knew, even a wee bit, of what it was like to exist for so long. They'd thought humanity was the answer. Transform one of them into a companion. But fate's gift had gone to their heed, made them dangerous, made them a problem that needed to be balanced out. The madams had proven no to be the companions fate had wished for, and after that they'd become resigned to a solitary existence. I honestly wished I'd asked anything else, because I truly wasn't prepared for that answer. Loneliness doesn't justify everything that's been done. And the irony that fate had condemned the madams to the same thing they'd tried to avoid by creating them wasn't lost on me. I only faltered for a second, sympathy tainting my determination, until I heard a creak on the stairs, and the private door was opened by my familiars, Kronos and the madam. I didn't know what my familiars or the madam saw when they looked at fate. A person? A creature? Someone they knew? I forgot to ask. Almost as soon as Kronos jumped onto the glass counter beside me, there was a sudden darkness to the shop. The light from outside wasn't streaming in as brightly. The bodach, death, had arrived, Madame Honora at their side. I saw a brief glimmer of something in the owl's depthless eyes as they noticed death. Something that looked an awful lot like doubt. This didn't last long as fate began to scoff, realising what our plan was. The owl chastised me for being foolish, saying that death had no power over it ever since their wee arrangement. If death were to ever lift a finger against fate, then they'd never see their love again. Except death had already seen their love. Kronos and the bodach locked eyes, and almost immediately his eyes changed colour. There was a kind of clarity, as though recognising an old pal you haven't seen in decades. I corrected fate by pointing at Kronos. The wee shite took his cue, jumped for the counter and transformed into his true form, complete with too many tails and third sparkling eye. His growl was feral, made more menacing by the growing darkness caused by death's presence. Fate began to realise that it was over, their reign over the world and the power they held over it fading. Death pronounced their judgment on fate. They were to be confined to the shop, in the form that the architect of their downfall saw them in. Who was me? Meaning that fate was forced to be an owl for the rest of time. With fate confined to the shop, their hold over the world and everything in it would be limited. There would be no more madams, no more destinies, no more chosen lives. People would be free to choose for the first time in millennia. With no more madams, it meant that the current madams were now free to live their lives. They were fully mortal. They'd live, age, and die just like everyone else. No longer would they be required to live for centuries, to be the guardians of fate and the gatekeepers of all the strange items in the world. However, there needed to be one exception. Fate couldn't be confined to the shop on its own, nor could the shop be left without someone to watch over it. The items inside had a purpose, and there were more out in the world that needed a place to go, and the ones already here a place to stay. You'll never guess who volunteered for this position. A life dedicated to the shop and all of the horrors inside. Aye, it was me. The problem was never the shop. It was being a madam, being forced to be there day in, day out for the rest of my long days. It had always been about choice, and the lucky one. Here I was being handed it. I could have walked away, could have left all this behind and went back to normal. Except, I didn't want to do that. How could I after all of the amazing, horrifying, spectacular things I'd seen? I'd been struggling with my future, no knowing what direction I wanted to go in, resigned to knowing I didn't have a choice. Death confirmed that although no a madam, I'd probably live a bit longer than an average person. I would age and one day I'd die, but I'd get a bit longer on the ride than most people, which was fine by me. Death threw in a bonus, in gratitude for reuniting them with their greatest love, Kronos, who himself was a facet of time. His presence had been the main reason that the shop was suspended, a pocket dimension in its own right. Aye, the wee shite was a lot more powerful than I'd ever appreciated, and no, I still haven't stopped calling him that. He'll always be my wee shite, no matter how big he is. The bonus allowed Finn to leave the shop. He wasn't free. Even though we'd done Death a favour, it still wasn't enough to completely resurrect Finn. But he was able now to go outside for a day at a time. If he didn't come back, then he'd die for good. Finn has since taken full advantage of his new freedom and seems the happier for it. Everyone parted ways. Death left with Kronos, who I didn't want to see leave. The full story of what happened was told to me after he came back to visit. Fate kidnapped him for Death many millennia ago and had kept him prisoner, forcing Death to do their bidding. One day, by chance or something more powerful we'll never know, he escaped. On his way back to Death, his memories faded. Fate's last attempt to prevent the reunion, and had condemned Kronos to wander the earth, no knowing who he was, until the Madams found him. It wasn't clear whether Fate knew who he was, or whether they were arrogant and thought that the shop was as good a prison as any, as long as it was away from Death. Once Kronos and Death had been reunited, whatever Fate had done fell away, and Kronos remembered everything. He and Death are happily reunited, but he still visits from time to time. It's been a few months since all this happened, since Fate was trapped in the shop amongst the many items it allowed to be created. Reed and Finn are no longer my familiars, because I'm no longer an apprentice. I still wear the ring though. I got used to it, but it no longer has the powers it used to. Finn is still in the shop, although takes advantages of his day's freedom every now and then. We've both tried to sort the shop, made the mistake of trying to change it, make it neater, but like when we were preparing to face Fate, no matter what we move or change, more items appear for thin air. We've since given up. We also have to put up with the owl, which has been given its own perch, in prime position to glare at me and whoever comes in. Fate hasn't spoken a word since we trapped it in the shop, but I'm sure in time it'll probably change. Neither Finn or I have the courage to put it in storage. Reed, since gaining his freedom, has started living his life away from the shop. He's in a relationship that's lasted more than 2 minutes, and during his visits to the shop, he appears happier than I've ever seen him. The frown he used to wear softened. The Madams are also taking full advantage of their freedom. Honora has been looking for her descendants, or rather her family's descendants, and has been trying to reconnect with them. We receive almost weekly postcards for Norna as she travels from exotic place to exotic place, seeing things in person she'd only read in books. As for me, I'm now the proprietor of the shop. I didn't want to keep the Madam title, since I'd been so desperate to avoid it. I didn't appear to have the same powers as I used to, but there's still wee things here and there. Inclinations about customers, and unbelievably, they still come in with their weird problems. It might surprise you to know that by some miraculous twist of luck, I actually managed to graduate with a degree that I'll now never use. For once, I got to be smug to my family and pals, telling them that I was going to be running my own business. To this day, they still haven't been able to find the shop. It's all still a bit new. I chose the name proprietor, but what that even entails is still something I didn't quite know. I'm curious as to how I'm going to forge a path ahead when I feel as unequipped as the day I walked into the shop for the first time. But I suppose that's the fun of it. No knowing where things are going, no knowing which direction you're travelling in, knowing that your life isn't planned out for you by something out of your control, That was always the world I wanted to live in. And now I get to do just that. Live by my own choices. The story and about how they'd agreed to hell. Items were removed into storage. They weren't removed into storage. Whoops. All of us, fae me, Finn and Reed to the madam, were all doing, oh god, the same sharp-eyed, imposing owl, still staring, what? What? Standing, oh my god. Death threw in a bonus, in gratitude for reuniting him, oops, nope. Death threw in a bonus, in gratitude for, Finn is still in the shop, although takes advantages, yep. I chose the name proprietor. Oh, right at the end. I managed to get all the way through this episode without that happening. Just one more time. For old time's sake, apparently. Hope you have a good life. I don't know how did I end this last time? Good night. Good night. Goodbye. See ya. See ya, fuckers. Nope, we're not ending it like that. That's not appropriate. See you fuckers. Oh my god. Thank you for listening to episode 50 of The Antique Shop. This podcast has now finished. Thank you so much for listening over the last 2.5 years. Tis been a great honour to be your narrator, producer, creator, and it's been an absolute honour to voice Maya for the last 2.5 years. I would just like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who has ever listened to this podcast. You're the ones that have made this entire journey worthwhile. It's been such a good experience to engage with the audience, to hear about your thoughts and your interpretations and your opinions on the characters, the storylines, the items in the shop. It's been really good to engage with everyone, and please still engage with each other. As always, there is a Facebook page and a Twitter page, for as long as Twitter's around, and there is a Reddit page, r/ The Antique Shop Pod on Reddit. Which I actually don't think I've mentioned an awful lot. Yeah, sorry. I know there's a Reddit page, but I don't think I've ever actually... I very rarely mention what the name is, which is kind of unhelpful. Yes, r/TheAntiqueShopPod. We are approaching 500 members. So go and join in the discussion there. Going forwards, or future plans, yes, The Antique Shop is now finished, obviously. I am now going on indefinite hiatus. But as you have all just heard, I have left the door cracked open a wee bit. I've left the door ajar. Yes, I prefer open endings, but I am aware that it's not quite an open ending because I have tied up all of the plot. Well, I think. I hope. I hope I've tied up all of the plot threads. But yeah, so the whole antique shop arc from episode 1 to 50 has now been completely tied up. But I have left the actual ending a wee bit open-ended, if that makes sense. Maybe that's not the right word. So I'm not saying that I will never come back to podcasting, but for the foreseeable future, I am not. Yeah, so going forwards, I will not be producing or creating podcasts anymore, but I am still around. If that makes any sense. So I'll still be on social media, I will still be writing, I will still be open for anything that other creators want me for, writing, voice, I say voice acting, but I'm sure there are better people to voice act. My accent is always available to share. Spread the Scottish accent, I'm all for that. I'll be the ambassador for the Scottish, for the Glaswegian accent. So I will still be around. If you want to email me, I will answer you. It might take me a day or two. That's just because I am really bad at answering emails. I will still be around to answer messages, any questions that you have. I will still be here. I just will not be releasing episodes anymore. I will keep everyone updated on anything that I do in the future. So don't think I'm just disappearing and everything's going to disappear with me. Everything is still going to be as it was. I'm just not going to be releasing new episodes for the foreseeable future. And so if you do want to keep up to date with what I'm doing or what I'm planning, because I do have a few plans in the works, or one or two plans in the works. So yes, anything in my career going forwards, you can keep up to date with via social media. I will put all updates on all of the platforms whenever anything is going to happen. So go and follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Ghostly Thistle, Reddit page r/theantiqueshoppod. I do have a Tumblr. I recently reactivated my Tumblr and renamed it because it used to be my personal Tumblr, but I don't really do anything on that apart from reblog the Sandman. Yeah, the only reason I mainly use Tumblr these days is to reblog the Sandman stuff, i.e. the Netflix adaptation of the comic books. Yes, also a fan of that. I never read the comics of the Sandman, but I'm not really a comic person, so that's why I never read it. But when I watched the Netflix adaptation and became obsessed for a few months, and so my Tumblr is essentially a reflection of that obsession. Follow at your own peril. Ah, yes. Got other things going forward. So I just lied to you. I said I wasn't going to be releasing anything else, but I'm going to be releasing the Q&A session. Blah. There is going to be one more episode on this feed, but it is not going to be an episode because obviously I've just done it. It's going to be the like ask me anything Q&A general thoughts thing. I'm currently planning for it to be quite a long episode. So rather than splitting it up into a few like I did in the past, I think I'm just going to have one long half an hour to an hour episode where I just go over everything I've kind of wanted to say for the last 2.5 years, but have never said it. And I don't mean like my opinions on the world or anything like that. I mean like things, little details that I purposely put into the podcast that I couldn't really share with anyone, because I wanted everybody to listen to it and blah, blah, blah. And obviously my own thoughts on characters and stuff like that, since a lot of people have asked me stuff about them. So yeah, addressing fan theories, essentially, is what I'm going to be doing. So yeah, so just a general chit-chat, really. So yeah, I plan to release that in 2 weeks. So you have at least another week and a bit. Maybe less than that, because I think it's going to be a nightmare to edit, because it usually is. When I'm not scripted, I'm a nightmare. You have maybe about another week, I'd say, after this episode comes out to get me any questions that you want me to answer. And then in 2 weeks after the release of this episode, I will release that chit-chat episode. Last thing on this feed will just be a general chit-chat, wrapping up session, etc. So yes, remember to send me your questions if you have any, especially now that the ending's out. I think I said this when I ended the McElwraith statements, especially considering it was 2019 and I think Game of Thrones had just ended and everybody hated it. And I was really worried that I'd ended that one terribly, but I really didn't know what worry was until I wrote this ending and I was like, oh God, this is worse. Because at least I only had like 9 months of podcasting by the time I ended the McElwraith statements. Whereas I've had 2.5 years of doing this and I'm like, oh my God, the pressure to end it. Pressure to have a good ending after that long. And especially with the increasing audience that I have it was awful. So yes, I probably have fucked up at some point. Okay. I'm hoping that the ending makes sense. I'm hoping that I didn't trip myself up and there's not like a gaping plot hole in the ending. I'm too close to it to notice if there is a plot hole. I am very nervous. Not very nervous, I'm a bit concerned about the ending, in that because the podcast has been going on for so long, I'm just scared I've tripped myself up. I'm hoping that I didn't. Please don't come for me if I did. It's been a long 2.5 years, please. Thank you so much for listening to The Antique Shop. I'll just think I'll just leave it at that. I think we're done.